Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 18, we were taught that when a person puts his hand against the man of God unjustly, he can expect the hand of God to be against him. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And so verse 8 says, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. Okay, now we see jealousy is getting in there, and he's wroth, wrath as well. And they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. A lot of times that's what jealousy does. It leads to murder. It leads to death. And sin, when it is complete, brings forth death. And so this is what's happening in Saul, a man who had his position as God's choice to begin. And it came to pass, verse 10, on the morrow, that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Now we see it going on. Here's David. He's just killed a giant. He's leading the king's armies, and they're doing great. And yet he doesn't forgive his shepherd boy status. He doesn't forget that at all. And he goes back and plays when Saul seems to be very down. But now Saul's wrath is against David. He's eyeing David. The jealousy and the wrath now have sunk in very well. Now he fears that David's going to take his part from him. And so Saul, two different times, throws a javelin at David. Fortunately, Saul's aim is not good at all. He missed him both times. Now, maybe Saul had a great aim, but when God's hand is in there, then it prevents Saul's aim. I don't know, but I know that he missed him. And so we see, verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David. There's that spirit of fear, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Now, my friend, let me say this. It's right for you to fear a man of God when you're against him and you know the Lord is with that man of God. You better fear him. Because if that man is walking with God, he's preaching God's word, and he's standing on God's word, and you begin to oppose him, expect the hand of God to come against you. Verse 13, therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Well, we see now that Saul's idea is, okay, I'm going to remove him from being right up here in the palace. I'm going to make him a captain, but what, over 1,000? But this is actually a demotion. David is being demoted. But he keeps coming in and out among the people, and doing what he's supposed to do. He still behaves himself wisely in all his ways because he's walking according to the word. And when he does, the Lord is with him. So verse 15 says, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Now we see it beginning to develop even more strongly, that spirit of fear. Verse 16 says, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. David's out there among the people. Saul's in there in the palace feeling sorry for himself. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merib, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? Well, here's David. He's saying, you know what? I'll fight all the battles of the Lord for you, king. I'll do that. But really, give me your daughter? No, king, I can't do that. I'm not worthy to be your son-in-law. And so as he's preaching there, he's telling him he's not worthy to be his son-in-law. And so that becomes the next step there. King Saul is trying to deceive him. There's that spirit of deceit that we mentioned earlier as well. He's hoping that going in and out fighting that David will get killed. So now we see that spirit is very active on David. So we go into verse 19. But it came to pass at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Maholathite, to wife. Okay, now there's a spirit of lying. David goes in and out, and he's leading to victory in all these battles of the Lord. And so that little scheme did not work. But then verse 20, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law as the one of the twain. So now here's Saul. He comes up with another plan. I'll give my other daughter who loves him, and she, oh boy, she can manipulate him. Evidently, Michal is the younger daughter, and she has a way of wrapping dad and others around her finger, and so Saul sees that, and he says, you know what she can do, and she can be my person that does this stuff for me, and not even know that she's doing it. She may be just a very pretty woman. We don't know that for sure, but obviously, she was a desirable woman. And so, again, Saul is now a deceiver and a liar. And he acts like, I want you to be my son-in-law. No, he wants him dead, not to be his son-in-law. Again, his jealousy is leading him to be a murderer. His deceit is to make it look like it was someone else that murdered. His lying is to say, well, I want you to be my son-in-law. His wrath is manifested in that he wants this guy killed, but he fears to do it himself because he fears the people, and that has so often affected him. And Saul commanded, verse 22, his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake these words in the ears of David, and David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? Now here again, Saul gives a command to his servants to talk to David. And he says, tell the servants that the king loves him and delights in him and loves him, and so do all the servants, and he wants you for a son-in-law. See, Saul is now so much in the world, he thinks that if he appeals to the flesh, he's got David in his hand. All the weaponry that he's using right now are carnal weapons. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are spiritual, even to the pulling down of stronghold. And so in verse 24 it says, And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this matter spake David. And Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. He thought, got him now. David doesn't want to be my son-in-law because he's embarrassed about how poor his family is. He doesn't have anything. So I can use this against him now. It kind of reminds you of Daniel, doesn't it? When they tried to find fault with him, they couldn't. They said, well, let's do this. Let's make a law that anybody that prays to any god besides the king, Darius, that he'll be put to death, thrown in the lion's den. Daniel prays to God every day 3 times. And so it's no exception just because the law was passed. He does what is right. He's cast in the lion's den, but God protects him. Now, King Saul says, you know what? To get 100 foreskins, they'll kill him. I mean, it's one thing to fight in war, but to go and get 100 foreskins, they will kill him. Again, Saul is going to the carnal thinking. But David walks with God. You know, that's our protection. Actually, Saul has a good idea if he's trying to kill somebody and not make it look like he's at fault. Very strong idea. And it's greater than our imaginations. It's greater than our devisings. But when you walk with God, then God walks with you, then it doesn't matter if it's 10,000, they flee. And so we see this happening with David. And so it says in verse 26, and his servants told David these words, and it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired, wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. Oh, I'd like to get the picture of Saul's face when he brings in 200 foreskin of the Philistines. And thinking, oh, I didn't think he'd make it. And then, since he's made all these statements in front of his people, he says, Michal, you got your wish. David's your husband now. So verse 28 says, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. All of this brought Saul to that understanding. He didn't see it before, but now he sees it clearly. And maybe he's kind of really upset now because he realizes that he was just a pawn in God's hand by using a weapon of Michal, became the weapon of the Lord, you know. And things just really worked out that way, and he sees it. But instead of saying, this is God's man, he makes other decisions to try to kill him because he has now been overcome by those devil spirits, because he wrestled not against those spirits, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Instead, now he is wrestling against flesh and blood, and that's not the Christian's weaponry.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.